You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Join our regular team and maybe a few special guests as they give you the lowdown on movies, TV shows, games, or just whatever they want to talk about. It's the best of geek from week to week, live on Twitch and direct in your ears via the podcast.
A civilization climbs from the ashes. The coming generations will have something to build upon. But it isn't just knowledge we'd be saving, but humanity's story. Our story.
I know what it feels like to be left alone. I will not abandon that boy.
I think that's what it's all about. Being brave, embracing change.
Where we went today, was it real or was it my imagination?
Oh! I love you.
My family is the reason I'm the way.
Welcome! Oh my God, did I do it? Did I nail it, guys? Did the intro work?
Did you nail it? I don't know.
I feel like we got vision.
Oh my God, someone says there was no sound. Okay.
We'll start again. Go on, just start again. Like, play it again soon.
No. It's fine. As long as everybody can hear us now, then that's all that matters. Who cares? It was an Apple promoted clip that I found on YouTube. So,
we're just trying new things.
We're winging it, guys. This is the first time I'm in the driver's seat, so bear with us.
Excellent, excellent. You can hear the talking. Yes, that's what you came here for. You came for the talking.
The girls are flying solo, and I don't mean these girls. I mean just girls.
It would be extremely frightening if they were flying solo.
But we
just
are
like on their own, completely detached.
Yeah, I was just like, yeah, okay, independent boobs just running wild. Oh goodness.
But our show tonight is about all of the crap that we binged watched, either during our Christmas break, the last lockdown, just everything that we haven't reviewed, we're going to talk about.
Because we watch so many things that we don't talk about.
So much stuff.
And to be honest, we don't talk about it because a lot of it's trash. Sometimes we talk about trash, but it's fun trash. Oh, that's just me. Maybe I'm the only one that just watches a lot of fun trash on repeat in a 5-month lockdown.
I mean, there's always room for trash, and I think that sometimes we just need to switch off the part of the brain that has to do a lot of thinking and just watch trash.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
Just chill.
Do you binge watch much?
No. I stick to mainly art house European cinema and
foreign language only.
Very serious economic documentaries. Like, that's my only sort of thing. When I don't have to review something for this, I just go very serious. You know. I watch a lot of university, like free university lectures on, you know, the Middle East, all that kind of stuff. That's what I binge.
Very highbrow.
Do you believe me?
No, not for one second.
Why? Why does nobody believe me?
No.
I can tell you, okay, well, I can ask, I will find out, like, did you find a really good and specifically trash movie or TV series that you really liked? Because I rediscovered my love for something recently, which I always kind of loved. But do you guys find anything new during your lockdown time?
Oh, where's my list? I wrote down a whole list of stuff. Okay. Oh, trash TV.
I mean, trash might have been strong words. Some of it is delicious trash. Some of it is genuinely good television that we just haven't talked about because either we don't have time or it doesn't fit within the genre pie that we usually sample from. There's actually a lot I watched that wasn't trash. It was quite good, but not the kind of thing that you would usually talk about, and some of it was trash.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff that I chose to watch ended up being trash.
And you know, intended. I'm sorry, we reviewed the I Know What You Did Last Summer series, so like,
oof. Oh, you know what? I forgot to go back and finish it.
I deliberately did not go back and finish it.
I wanted to find out what
everyone
happened.
Forgot to go back and finish that. That was a- I keep getting ads for it every time I like log on to Amazon and I go to watch something. It's like, you should check out this. I'm like, how about no?
I should go back. I'm sure that I only had 2 episodes left and then I could finish it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's so much new content coming out soon, so it was a good time to visit the stuff that we're probably not going to review.
Sure. I mean, no one wants me to review 1982's Megaforce, but I'm going to do it anyway. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
It's like, come on, Gary Bostwick? No, okay, look, you can look it up and then you can be like, oh, great, man, that's what you're talking about. But I over the Christmas period, I didn't do too much rewatching stuff, really. I mean, you know, what did I watch? I may have watched one of the Hobbit movies again to scratch an itch, and then I realized why.
Okay, so like, I know everyone
needed to scratch.
Everyone hates me for hating Lord of the Rings, but I'm going to make everyone hate me even more and say that I love the Hobbit movies. I find them so accessible. Dion's just lost all respect he ever had for me.
You know what? I don't have strong feelings either way, so you're fine by me. Where to start? Because I've just realised that I probably in the last 6 months have watched more bingey type stuff than I thought I had, but then I remembered that like 5 months of that was like in lockdown and I live alone. Mm. So that probably explains a bit of that. Sometimes you just like, you know, want people in the house so that like your little TV family on in the background and you're not even really watching. But I actually have watched some pretty good things that we haven't spoken about as well. Should we start with trash? Semi-trash.
Go for it, yes. Sort of,
because you know that I just need to because I wouldn't shut up about it.
Yes, like kick it off.
In lockdown, I decided that I was going to finally finish watching Poldark. And I feel no shame that I am the exact target audience for this particular kind of, like, paperback historic romance, starring Aidan Turner being a very sexy Georgian man. and I watched 5 seasons of it in the space of a few weeks.
Shall we?
And it was fun.
For people that don't know what Poldark is about, should we have a look at the trailer? how do I put this in here now? I'm just going to work this out. Nope, not that one. This one. There we go. Now, let's see if we can get some sound. I hope the sound.
Are we allowed to talk over this or is this
one? Yeah, yeah.
Because who is Aidan Turner? Explain.
He was one of the dwarves in The Hobbit.
Right.
Also,
the hot one.
He was also the bad vampire in Being Human. And you know how I feel about a bad vampire? Like, that's where my Aidan Turner crush kind of was born.
Oh, this sounds like it's got a hip-hop soundtrack. That's fantastic. When I think, like, Americana, I think hip-hop soundtrack.
Mm.
This looks ridiculous.
So what actually is the show about?
It's about a progressive Cornish gentleman trying to save the town that is in charge of as
oily
a Cornish gentleman. But really it's about like a terrible love triangle between one of the other ladies and the housemaid, which, look, doesn't sound like a great power dynamic, but they make it work. Just don't worry about okay. it. Just go with it. Go
There's
with it.
There's glistening it abs, so I'm there. I'll go on.
It is a stock standard historical romance. It was based, as far as I'm aware, on a book. And, okay. like, if you don't mind a little bit of historical romance, I highly recommend, because it has all of the ingredients that will get you through for five seasons. I did Downton Abbey after this because I needed kind of more, and Downton Abbey is, like, not as good in terms of, like, the paperback romance-y kind of stuff. Like, Downton Abbey's a little bit boring compared to the drama in Poldark.
Speaking okay. of drama in Poldark, I did see an ad for something that was being marketed as the American answer to Downton Abbey, but it was all about, like, society in New York during the turn of the century. And I was kind of like, that's interesting, but also, it, when's this one set? Yeah. Is like, what's going on? Are there mobile phones? Are there steam engines? obviously, it didn't look like that. But I want to know, why should I be watching Poldark if there's, like, you know, should I be just watching it for the abs of the main character when he takes his shirt off and dives around? Or,
I mean, obviously it touches on the flavor of the history of that particular time, where, you know,
history.
The flavor, it's got the scent of history, and it actually touches on a few you know, historical events that are kind of happening in the background that were real events with real characters, but it's not about history. Like, let's just be straight about that. It's
je ne sais quoi.
It is about people standing on windswept cliffs looking beautiful, with, like, a bit of a history flavor in the background.
Okay.
I feel like I'm not selling it, but Aidan Turner.
Yeah, I mean, that should be enough, right?
If that's what you're in the mood for, that's all I'm saying. Sometimes yeah. there's a lockdown and you've got a lot of time on your hands. That's all I'm saying.
Is it still going or is it finished? What's going on?
No, there's five seasons and it's done.
Yeah,
it's old. It was finished a long time ago. Actually, I started it years ago when I was in London, and it was still kind of rolling out new seasons, and I never got to the end. So I did, like, a from the beginning and the bits that I missed out.
Okay.
Rewatch. Yeah.
Was it a satisfying watch? Do you think by the end of it you're like?
No, it was like, if that's what you're looking for, it's a deeply satisfying watch. If you're okay. looking for a paperback historical romance, it's a deeply satisfying watch.
Yeah.
Would you call it a bodice ripper? Is there any kind of action or not really?
Bodice ripping, like, this, I just answered Casper in the chat. Like, it's not as rapey as Outlander. Like, there's okay. no, like, actual, like, ripping of bodices. But, yes, okay. I might describe it as a bit of a bodice ripper.
Okay, good.
In some ways.
Is it sort of Captain Tight Pants kind of thing?
I don't know, Captain Tight Pants.
I don't know.
I do not understand that reference.
Heaving bosoms and glistening abs.
Yes.
But there you go.
For sure.
Certain bulge
in the cookies. I mean, while we're on this historical tangent, I binged two seasons of Dickinson at Pete's behest of somebody to watch it other than herself. So I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll watch it. And, oh, my God, I love it. For people in the chat, it has Hayley Steinfeld in it as Emily Dickinson. And it's quite modern, but definitely, you know, set in the late 1800s. But everybody talks like this, you know. Modern speech.
I keep looking up things, like, when you're talking about stuff, I'm like, what is that series that you're talking about? And now I'm like, oh, okay, I see. It's on Apple TV, which is why that it's probably a really good series, because it's on Apple TV. Just no one really cares or knows about Apple TV shows.
I know. Like, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff on Apple TV that just, you know, kind of we forget about it existing because it's not as
completely fine. It's, you know, 26 to 34 minute episodes. It seems it's got three seasons. That's it. It's a comedy.
Yeah. I haven't watched season three yet, but there's, I mean, for people that know about Emily Dickinson, she was quite famously a spinster for all of her life. So they kind of frame this TV show in like, oh, she's not interested in men. She's very devoted to her poetry, but there's still quite a bit of like, oh, she's got a crush on this person, but she's also like in a bisexual relationship and, you know, is in love with her best friend, who is a woman that's now married to her brother, and like all of this, I don't know, cool, trashy teen stuff, but like with an 1890s spin on it. It's so good.
I love that. I love that whole idea, which is like, oh, she never married. She was a spinster her whole life, you know. Oh, she had a best friend that she lived with for 6 years. Like, it's like, oh, such a best friend, like even male or female. It's kind of like, oh, so weird. Yeah, they lived together for 4 years and had a dog. It's like, yeah. So single. Weird.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I love Hailee Steinfeld. I think she's amazing and she's so fun in this show. And the rest of the cast is great as well. Like, there's great chemistry with all of the cast members and it's fun and they do dumb shit and you're like, oh, this is, you know, this is funny. Like, they lean into the modern language and the modern sensibilities, but also like definitely take note of its historical leanings. So yeah, it's a fun little mashup.
There's a lot from what I've read about Dickinson that the showrunner has brought in that's very historical accurate, which is kind of weird given that tonally the show is not historically accurate, that she's actually pulled so many fine details in that are historically accurate from accounts of Emily Dickinson's life. It's a really, really interesting show. And I feel like if you're a fan of Dickinson or American history and you could see some of those links, you'd enjoy it even more.
Yeah. And like Tari asks, is it Bridgerton style? Yes, it is a little bit Bridgerton style.
Kind of, sort of, but even more brazen, I think, than Bridgerton in its modern references.
Bridgerton, like, you hear the instrumental music in the background and it's Taylor Swift songs and, like, that's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. This is definitely more, like, tongue out of the mouth. That's a thing.
As well, are there any Hamilton-style rap battles? Are they going to I saw the cast list and it's got Wiz Khalifa in it and I was like, what?
Oh, okay. So yeah. Wiz Khalifa plays Death and like there's this whole thing because like everybody knows that famous Emily Dickinson poem about I could not stop for Death because he would not stop for me or whatever it is, you know. And so there's like this lust relationship between her and Death, and so you have like these imaginations of hers where she's like courting Death, and she, whenever she meets him in his carriage, she's got some sexy dress on, and yeah, she's just a
big goth, basically. They say Emily Dickinson, big goth, that's it.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, that sounds interesting. Worth hunting down.
Yes, yeah, definitely. I like it.
See, that is not trash. That's a good show that we just haven't had time to talk about yet.
All shows are good to someone. Someone does like some part of shows out there.
That's true.
I will never shit on someone's liking. I mean, I will, but I'll do it in the privacy of the internet, which is has no repercussions, and it's fine to shit on people's things.
I mean, if you like Netflix, they only love it for 3 seasons.
yeah, true. Yeah, it's like, oh, your first season was average. Okay, maybe we'll give you another one, and then after 3, oh, you're really popular. You cancel.
Oh my god, Chast Angela, yes, she is the original millennial. It's like as if watching millennials in 1890 on this show.
Stop talking about millennials, they're old now. Millennials
are good. Oh, the Gen Z is now or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Oh, so Dion, what have you got for us?
Nothing. I didn't do any research.
Some terrific. Cool. But you must have binged something in the past few months.
To be completely honest, what have I had on in the background, not paying attention, was catching up with Vikings.
Okay.
You know, the History Channel, very accurate Vikings, learning all about Ragnar Lothbrok and the rest of, you know, his family as they would. Yeah, okay. Look, it was fine. It was one of those ones that I kind of remember. I was like, I remember that show. It's been around for a while. Who made it? That's like the History Channel. What the fuck do you mean, making a drama? I finally kind of half watched in the background what happened to everyone. I think by the end of the episode, I was like, one of these characters was in the first episode, and then there's one at the end episode, and I was like, that's the only
one. Everybody died in the middle.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much they all got, but like Vikings was an interesting kind of foray into, you know, historical drama. You know, they didn't have they kind of based it on ideas or stories of people, and they kind of made it up. And it's like, it's kind of interesting, you know. But, you know, I was kind of like, okay, it's cowboys, it's Vikings, it's fine.
I mean, I guess they were slightly more successful than that god awful Britannia. Did it?
There was a show, you guys, called Britannia?
You guys didn't try to watch Britannia?
No.
Okay, so they marketed it as like, oh, this is the next Vikings / Game of Thrones style thing, but it's all going to be about like...
They missed me with the marketing.
Like medieval. Medieval? No, I think it would be more of like... Oh, God, I don't even know how to describe it. Maybe like a Bronze Age Britain. Something yeah. like along those lines of like... sure. They're fighting the Romans or something along those lines. But, I tried it and it was fucking awful.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot like Camelot. Do you guys ever remember the show Camelot? Which was, like, yeah, it was kind of, it came out, I think, maybe just before around the same time as Game of Thrones when it originally started. And okay. It was terrible. Like, just trying to be sex and sorcery and, like, you know, young King Arthur kind of TV series. And I just kind of watched the first few episodes. I was like, oh, that was terrible. But, you know, like, that's the Viking show was fine after six seasons. At least they brought it to an end. And, wow. You know, Travis Fimmel, who is the Australian model come actor who starred as Ragnar Lothbrok in the Vikings TV show, went on to work with Ridley Scott in the next great TV series, which I can't understand how they made a second series of
it. Raised by Wolves.
Where, again, he's thinking he's a god, and that's kind of weird. But speaking of good sci-fi that I did finish watching too, I finished watching The Expanse.
Oh, nice.
Which is actually a really great science fiction TV series. Kind of well done for like a few aspects of it. One of them, even though it kind of devolved from where it started, and I never read books on it, but it did kind of come to some sort of end after six seasons. Not that it got to the book end. It kind of finished like half the books. So people are like, you can still make another six seasons of this if you wanted to. I think everyone's a little tired and there were some issues with casting. But what I loved about The Expanse, which we have got done a podcast of, is that it has really good physics-based space science fiction.
That is the one thing I did notice about that show. Like, that was what was fascinating for me. Unfortunately, I didn't continue. I watched a few episodes of season one and then it kind of fell behind and I was watching a lot of other stuff.
It's a bit weird and it threw me for the whole for sort of first and half of the second season. And yes, Predakanga, there is zero G sex in the first episode. Just doing it as a hook, all right? It didn't focus on that in the future. what I really liked about it was they were doing these intense battles and space battles that they tried to do, and it was all computer programmed. So basically the warships would be like, okay, we've sent six torpedoes at this person or this other ship, and they'd just be like, and it's time to have a cup of coffee because they're dead. They can't defeat what they sent against you. And even the people who got it, like the torpedoes coming towards them, like, yeah, they've sent missiles at us. We're fucked. We can't stop them. And it's just kind of like, holy shit, imagine that. You know, it's like submarine battles. You know, for like 2 minutes. It's like, well, I've got 2 minutes left, but I'm dead. You know? And they're kind of like, yeah, it was very interesting. But yeah, look, if you can get behind The Expanse, it's got some really interesting science fiction stuff, and it goes full sci-fi. Like, it started as kind of reality sci-fi, and then it went into like an alien thing, and I was like, really? Okay, fine. All right, we're an alien.
It took the fiction part of science fiction to heart.
Sure. Yeah, because it started like real, you know, kind of like this could actually happen. This is the reality of the situation. How do humans end up colonizing space by creating, you know, like a work, like the whole thing in the first few seasons, or the whole thing is like, you know, there's a whole working class out there who are humans that live in space and don't have access to things like air and water. And they're a subclass of people, and they're physiologically different because they've only ever grown up in zero G, and they have like, how is that kind of thing, you know? And humans who grew up on Earth are considered better than everyone else. And different to grow up on Mars. You know, it's kind of really interesting socio-political stuff in there as well as some cool space battles. Anyway, go watch The Expanse. It's good.
Yeah, I'll get back to it one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done a couple of seasons and then it just seemed like a big commitment to do the rest of it because I'm too busy watching bodice-ripping historical fiction.
Well, trash. Peter, you heard of a little... You heard of a little series called Babylon 5.
Still is that sci-fi bodice ripping?
Kind of.
Space suit ripping?
Babylon 5 is space opera. So not so.
Oh, wait, that's the one that they're rebooting, isn't it?
I think Straczynski was in talks of rebooting it, and I was like, oh, God, why? You've already got it. You've got a perfect TV series. It's called, you know, Babylon 5. It does everything that you want, has a really great four seasons when they're on threat of being cancelled, and then a really absolutely fucking terrible last couple of seasons and a few movies to tail it off, and then it jumps the shark completely with its sequel. Yes. What is Babylon 5? Never heard of it. Excuse me, my good sir or ma'am, what would you like to hear about? But yeah, well, what's a sci-fi bodice ripper? Oh, that'd be interesting. What is a sci-fi?
I mean, just dangerous, basically. Like things you don't want rips in.
Farscape's kind of like a bodice ripper.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I, after many, many years of knowing it existed, I finally watched Farscape, and I actually really liked it.
Oh, Pete.
I liked it for what it was. I didn't like, okay. I don't like obviously rank it in like, you know, best sci-fi of all time. But I think I avoided it for so long because I had such low expectations of it. And then I watched it, I was like, you know what, for what this is great. You know, it's fun.
Sure.
That's a good point, Rob. Firefly.
Firefly did have a few bodices that were ripped, but you know, the weedness of it all. I have one that I watched. I did watch it over Christmas, not over lockdown, that has been out for a while, that I don't think is trash, that I really, really liked. And it's Hollywood on Netflix, the bit of Ryan Murphy revisionist history. And I never watched it because I watched the first episode and given the demographics of the characters, I assumed that it would end up being really depressing and I didn't want to be depressed.
Okay.
And then Phil mentioned something in the chat about it being like happy. So I was like, oh, I'd like to watch something happy. And then I watched it and it was delightful.
It
was so delightful and happy.
I did like that series, but I didn't like the revisionist ending. Because I felt like
the revisionist ending.
I felt like it was kind of, I don't know, not paying respect to the shit that did happen.
But I feel like because we all know the shit that did happen, this is just kind of like a imagine if like things went the way that they should have gone. Wouldn't that have been nice? But we know that it didn't. Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just expected it to be a major bummer and then it wasn't. And it was also like just a fun, colourful, beautiful series with great costumes.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, I sometimes you've got to distinguish that between historical fact and historical fiction and revisionist kind of history is a bit much like Vikings. I watched that and enjoyed it for what it was, but it obviously was not the same as what fucking happened during the Viking Age. God, who knows? But yeah, as long as you can get part. Do you think it's too close though? Hollywood is not easy enough to be accessible. Whereas in Vikings, you're like, sure, they did that and they were fine. There were noble people who went around and raided for fun and had slaves.
I suppose it's the difference in time between us and the Vikings and us and 1940s Hollywood.
Yeah. Do you think if we had like, you know, what's one of the current sitcoms, like Friends, if they went back and made a revisionist Friends in the future where, you know, none of the bad jokes happened? Or that'd be like Two and a Half Men. They just do that.
Oh, God.
Ew.
We've spiraled into a problematic comedy hole now.
All comedy is problematic. What are you talking about?
Casper does point out Man in High Castle. I have been meaning to watch that because it does look fascinating. It's a what if Nazis won, but it's kind of a isn't it supposed to be like an alternate reality, and they do have portals and stuff to like our reality where the Nazis didn't win or something. I can't remember.
It's complicated. I haven't watched it all. I've watched I think a couple of. I don't think I've seen the end for some reason. I don't know why I kind of went off it, but yes, there is kind of a complicated, there are like parallel timelines happening, and it gets a bit weird and complicated, but it is good.
Yeah.
I don't know why I stopped watching it. Now I'm like, why do I not know how that ended? Because I was enjoying it. It is
one of those things. Sometimes you start watching shows and you're like, oh yeah, and then it goes away from you and you're like, oh yeah, what happened to that one? Did they finish that? You know, oh, got cancelled. Like, oh, did it? Oh, okay, fair enough. But I haven't got much. I find I always get trapped, and I'm sorry if anyone else does it. I end up going back to things I've watched before because that's don't like, especially if I'm not paying attention to things.
Yeah, it's like, comfort watch.
I'll just watch that again. It's fine.
We did a whole episode on that.
Yeah.
Well, true.
Although I've gone back now and started watching something that I watched when I was a teenager expecting it to be a comfort watch, and it's actually a very uncomfortable watch because I'm realising that what I thought was romantic when I was a teenager is actually really fucked up.
Where was it, The Cosby Show?
Felicity.
Oh, right.
Oh, man, I could never get on board with that show.
I had such a crush on Noel when I was a kid, and I've watched it again and realised that Noel is such a fucking creep.
Oh, my God.
Like, the quintessential, like, nice guy creep. And I'm like, oh, my God, I was so conditioned.
But even Felicity herself is a total pain in the ass.
So the premise of Felicity, for Casper who's asking, is a girl has a massive crush on this guy that she doesn't know very well in high school, because apparently all high schools in America are so enormous that you can go your entire school career and not meet one of your classmates. And she finds out that he's going to New York University, so she turns down her spot at Stanford and follows him to New York on a whim, and it's her and his and their friends' lives at New York University, and there are love triangles galore.
Yes, but she's an incredibly privileged white lady who goes to college and then has to make do. But it did give us J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, I mean, he had to cut his teeth somewhere, and it gave us Jennifer Garner, and she's a treasure. I'm just saying.
Look, I've got to say, I don't hate everything about it. There was an episode that focused on the sexual assault of a particular character that was a hard watch, but I felt like it was so accurate to the way that we were conditioned to think and believe and talk about sexual assaults at the time, that I actually thought it was really good. And the episode happened to have a female writer and director on it as well, which I thought was like reasonably progressive for 1998. But like in general, the characters and plot, like they're like 19-year-old kids and you just want to shake them, because Felicity's like, oh no, oh, but I wanted to spend the summer with Ben, but I've now been invited to this really prestigious internship. Which one should I do? The internship. Obviously, you absolute idiot. What is wrong with you? Jesus Christ, if you can't be a part of this guy for like 2 months to do an internship, then your relationship is not going to last.
Question is then, does it pass the Bechdel test?
Do the girls ever talk about not guys?
Yes, probably.
I'm sure they do, yes, because they talk about their schoolwork all the time. It does. I had to think about it for a second, but it does.
Speaking of some surprisingly progressive television, I've also got I highly recommend that if anyone wants to go back and start watching A Cunt's Practice from the beginning.
Oh my God, my mum has been doing that.
They are actually, like, some of the things that they're discussing in it is a lot more progressive than I would have believed is possible for the 80s. Where it was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, fair enough.
So I believe there's actually an entire podcast for this, and I have not listened to it myself, so I don't want to spruik it. But I believe that there's a podcast where they are actually rewatching every episode of A Country Practice and talking about it. And my mum is hundreds of episodes deep into this thing. Hundreds. Yeah. Every time I go to their house now, she's just watching Country Practice like end to end to end. This has been my mum's binge watch project for the past 12 months. Yeah. If you look at something substantial, there is a lot of it.
It is called A Country Podcast, and you can go back and listen to that one as well. So, yeah, go out to those guys. And also, as Tari said in the chat there, his Golden Girls is also like that. Absolutely. Golden Girls is great. And, you know, just pair Golden Girls with And Just Like That, because that's a terrible show.
Oh, I have not watched it. I will not watch God. It. I never watched Sex in the City. I don't care.
Can I just tell you why it's called? What's it called?
It's called
And Just Like That.
And Just Like That. Okay, because in the first episode, spoilers, everybody, Big dies. And so Carrie's like, and just like that, Big died. And then it's her going off on her single journey again.
Without
what's the fucking
one
point?
Of the four. Anyway.
Like, yeah, without Kim Cattrall. Like, she didn't want to come back.
I mean, what's the point? Fair to her.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I was never into it. I'm not going to get into it now. Like, there's better trash for me to watch. Which is terrible to say. I'm not implying it's trash. It's just not my kind of trash. I'd much rather a ridiculous historical bodice ripper or a silly YA, you know, CW sci-fi. That's my kind of trash.
Yeah. Going back to the historical stuff and the speculative facts, Pete and I have both watched The Great, season one and two.
Yes.
That was something else.
Season two was one of my holiday binges.
And this is something I've got to say. Like, I consider that sort of stuff, you know, it's like, oh, it's not within the remit. It's like, I think a lot of that stuff I do consider. Like, The Great is a great comedy with heaps of it's fantasy narrative, like in that sort of sense. It's a, what is it? We were just talking about it. It's a historical fiction. Yeah, but
there's some facts in there.
Sort of, but it's well acted and it's very funny. I love that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I actually watched both seasons of The Great over the Christmas holidays because I wanted to watch the first again before I watched the second. And it is well worth a watch and a rewatch. Such a beautifully performed comedic piece.
Casper, The Great is a fictional historical retelling of Catherine the Great's rise to power in Russia. And it's got Elle Fanning and it's got Nicholas Holt, and they're just absolutely having a blast making this show.
Yes, so,
and if you want to talk about the barest whiff of history in something, this is about as revisionist as you can get.
Yes.
But I love that. I also love that there's this whole there's a running joke in the show that Catherine the Great fucked a horse.
Yeah. And everyone just believes it.
Which is literally.
And they keep
making
jokes about it.
Yeah, they keep making, even though she's there, she's like, I never fucked a horse. And people are just like, oh, no, we heard you fucked a horse. And it's kind of one of those things that was, you know, in history, it's like, oh, Catherine the Great, she did all these things for Russia, but she might have fucked a horse. Like,
yeah, even to the point of, like, when she as a child, everyone's like, is there any horse parts on it? Does it have a horse dick? Does it have a horse face? And she's like, I didn't fuck a horse, okay?
It's kind of one of those things. It's like a rumor that they made up to discredit her at one point. It has just persisted through the centuries, but they just make a joke about it during the whole time.
Yeah, it was fake news and everybody believed it.
It still is. It's very funny. Like, I highly recommend it. Right?
Well, yeah, worth a binge.
I do like that. Did anybody watch Doom Patrol season 3?
Oh, I did.
Yes. That was one that kind of like flew under the radar because it kind of came out towards the end of lockdown.
I feel very sorry that I haven't actually finished watching Doom Patrol because it is a great kind of weird and wonderful season. I think I just got like tired of the weird and I just needed something a bit calmer.
Yeah, look, I was watching it when I was hanging out at my parents' place over Christmas and they came in on the episode where there were zombie vampire. Were buttocks. That's it. And they were turning people into zombies and it was all very weird. And my parents are like, Jill, you're 37 years old and you still watch weird shows. I'm like, yes. I will never stop watching weird shows.
You know, I got my parents into Doom Patrol, right? Like, they haven't seen that season or that episode, but like they got into it.
You should, like, Jill, you should have just turned around and looked at them and go, do you want me to take you back to the one where a giant cockroach makes out with a giant rat? Because we can go there.
Or the sex ghosts.
Yes. Doom Patrol is great, and Brendan Fraser is a national treasure, and we should protect him at all costs.
Yes. Yes, if you can't accept him at his Doom Patrol, then you don't deserve him at his George of the Jungle.
That's kind of something. Maybe we'll do that this year. We'll go back through all of the Brendan Fraser early, and we'll do Heartthrob.
Yeah. Instead of your JCVD redo.
Reese. I haven't done one for a while, haven't I? No.
Yeah, we should do Brendan Fraser Reese.
Jesus, God, I should. Fuck it. I'm going to call it right now. 2022, I am going to do another JCVD Reese, which.
Yeah, you only did one.
No, I've done two. I did Bloodsport and then Kickboxer. Oh, no, I did Kickboxer and then Bloodsport.
Oh, that's right. You did do two.
The next one that is up is going to be Universal Soldier. You hear it here first. So go out and watch Universal.
Ooh, okay.
We'll do that one because it's got Dolph Lundgren in it too.
You guys have fun.
No,
oh, you're not going to join us.
You're coming to that one, Peter. Just
I watched Bloodsport. Is that not enough?
There are five sequels to Universal Soldier. So just so you know that one, if we could go all the way through. And plus, there's more Bloodsport films. There's like six Bloodsport films and then a remake.
You should just do it as a highlights reel. You don't need to cover all of them.
I'm gonna save it. I won't ask you.
Like, in 5 years, we're still doing this series.
I won't do that. I will just put, like, above everything else, just put Babylon 5 on your list. That's it. That's all I'm gonna say. There's so much out there. You're just gonna have to keep going back to Babylon 5.
I can do that. Babylon 5 sounds a lot better to me than Universal Soldier does right now.
Does it though?
No. No, I will watch Universal Soldier over Babylon 5. Like, that's really a TV series with lots of episodes. Universal Soldier, one movie. I'm done.
We're not even going to the hard target where JCVD has a mullet and is from the bayou. That's fucking great.
Ooh, that sounds like Steven Seagal level of like wacky character. It
kind of is. He's a Cajun man. It's like, just okay, so Belgium, slightly French accent.
Okay,
fair enough. Oh, no, don't rewatch Lost. No one should ever rewatch Lost. That's a show that lost me.
Yeah, I didn't watch past the season of Lost.
I finished Lost. I am the only person I know that finished Lost. And it still didn't make sense at the end. Still didn't make sense. I'm like, Did anybody know what they were trying to tell in this show? Like, what story they were trying to tell? Because there were so many, like, what I feel like are fighting theories on what was supposed to actually be happening. And then at the end, they're just like, yeah, no, it was purgatory. I'm like, we knew that from season one, and you tried to deny it this whole time by like giving us all these other, you know, tangents. And then at the end, I was like, no, it was purgatory. Yeah.
So kind of like the end of Gossip Girl, where they were like, yeah, we didn't really think about this at all. So we're just going to make it one of the characters, and it's not going to make any sense.
Well, here's a good point. What the fuck is Gossip Girl?
XOXO? I don't know.
I've never
seen. Isn't it about like a girl that writes a column, but she's like.
Wait, anonymous? Have you guys never watched any Gossip Girl?
I don't even know what
it's like. Wow.
I know it's got the guy and Sebastian was in it. And
talk about delicious Blake teeny
Lively,
trash.
Like that's
Sebastian.
I mean, Blake Lively is amazing.
Sebastian Stan, keep up. Oh. You know, my second husband.
I'm not sure that I would flag Gossip Girl for a bingeable rewatch unless it's really your thing, but it's a ridiculous story about extremely privileged teenagers who live in New York, and the Gossip Girl is the anonymous gossip poster that kind of triggers a lot of the story. And when they reveal the Gossip Girl at the end of quite a few seasons, they reveal it as a character who's been a character the whole time, who was frequently like targeted by Gossip Girl, and it kind of like fucked up his life. And they were like, oh no, wait, we need it to be someone. It was him. But that makes sense. Shh, it was like, him.
It sounds like it's like Bridgerton. Which one came first?
Gossip Girl, obviously.
Right.
Pete, okay. I think you should do us all a favor and watch the reboot Gossip Girl and tell us what it's like.
Okay, I can do that for you. That doesn't sound painful.
Gossip Girl's been rebooted?
Like, yes, Dion, it's not even that old and it's been rebooted.
How?
They're like, forget you millennials, we want the Gen Z version. It's like, okay, I mean, it's one generation down, but okay.
It is purely offensive that they can erase our history like that.
Yeah.
Oh, how very dare they?
I mean, I see some other shows that are in the coming through the chat, which I was like, one though I will call out though, Revolution. Did anyone watch Revolution? That was an interesting television show about, it had a really interesting premises. What happens if the world suddenly just loses power and you can't switch everything back on again?
Like, oh, yeah, nothing. I did watch a bit of that.
I really liked that. I think it got two seasons and then it kind of just ended and they didn't renew it because it was kind of not really going anywhere. But it had some great actors in it and it has some interesting ideas. So I'll just say that was a good one. And then Heroes as well, which came and then was a victim of the writer's strike. It was really good for 1 minute and then just became absolutely terrible when they weren't allowed to continue the very big overarching narrative story that was all interlinked. Because the writer strike meant that if anyone even used any of the ideas that they had set out for the entire series, they would get sued. So they ended up just having to write shit.
Oh, no.
It jumped the shark very early, that one. Very early on.
Yeah.
Look, I was looking for something to watch in between Christmas and New Year, where I was at home for the 3, 4, 5, however many days, we lose track of time in that period that I was at home by myself. I thought, I'm going to do nothing, but I need something on TV. And I thought, oh, what's something I can just chuck on in the background? I don't need to worry about. Well, I chucked it on in the background and then I became very invested and watched all 7 seasons of Mad Men in 2 weeks.
Oh, that's a lot for 2 weeks. That like propels you through the annals of history in 2 weeks.
An entire decade, Peter. An entire decade. Because it literally is like, I believe it starts in 1962 and ends in 1968. And good Lord, it so much happened historically in the 60s that were primarily like American focused, and there was so much in this show, and like I knew what it was about, I knew the problematic nature of it, but you know what, god damn it if it wasn't compelling, and god damn it if it wasn't like doing amazing storytelling through television. Like there's definitely a lot of episodes in those seven seasons where it's like just clever ways to tell stories. I love Christina Hendricks. I'm with you, Casper. She's just phenomenal. And she is hands down the greatest character in that show. And her storyline throughout the whole series is just great. And I like cheer her all the time through the show. But you know what? Like, Don is supposed to be the hero of the show, right? It's all kind of revolves around him. But his character is so inconsistent throughout the seven seasons that you kind of just don't even really get a general idea on who this guy is. And I don't even know that he knows who he is. It's so peculiar.
Isn't
he set up as like this ladies' man? He's a serial adulterer. But he's also got like this side of him of like he abandoned the Korean War and, you know, took up a false name. Like he took the identity of a dead soldier so he could get out of the war. And he grew up in a whorehouse and he was an orphan and like this entirely messed up childhood and like early, late teens, early 20s kind of life. And then ends up in advertising, is this total hotshot, but then has like a mental breakdown towards the end and has like bettered so many women. It's so inconsistent. But he also is such a champion of women too, and I don't understand it. Like the women that he works with, so much respect for them if they're not a secretary. If they're a secretary, he'll fuck them. But if they're not, then he's got like mad respect and he's always like pushing them to like do their best. But if the woman is someone in a position that's like not equal or lower than him, he just wants to fuck them. And I like and treats them like trash, like absolute trash.
I've never heard anyone in that era doing that to women.
Concept. I don't know why all of the men in this one advertising industry are just not into monogamy whatsoever. But honestly,
I'm not going to laugh, but I have met a few people in the creative industries, and I'm going to say I don't think it's changed very much over all of those years. Not that I'm saying anything's wrong with the marketing industry, but it's terrible.
Okay. Good to know.
Well, especially with taller and big.
There was definitely an episode where it made me go, oh, hang on, okay, no, this is actually fantastic. And I need to tell you, I think it was in season three. One of the guys had secured a advertising contract for John Deere. And so it's like, oh, the way he's going to announce this to the office is he rides a John Deere mower into the office. And I'm like, oh, that's not dangerous. Here's this diesel guzzling like monster of a ride on lawnmower being driven into an office. And then later on in the day, like everybody's getting shit-faced in the office having drinks because they secured John Deere. Yeah. So somebody gets on the mower, don't they, and start riding around the office. And then one of the secretaries, who actually turns out doesn't know how to drive, hops on the lawnmower and starts going out of control, runs over a dude's foot, chops it off, then crashes into someone's office through like the glass and the door and stuff. And I'm just like, holy shit, what is this show? Up until then, it was so low key. And then this happened, this episode happens. And then like later on, they're at the hospital and this guy has had to have his foot amputated because they couldn't save it. And then like these bosses from the UK office are like, oh, the poor chap, he'll never work again. Don's like, but he just lost his foot. Like, he can still work. And they're like, oh, no, not at all. They're like, oh, he'll never play golf again. I just laughed. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, he's not an invalid. Fuck. But, yeah.
So for my heady like pieces of amputation, go straight to Mad Men. Highly recommend.
Yeah, there's some wild shit in that TV series. But, yeah, now I can tick that off the list. That is, like, one of those I think it's one of those seminal kind of TV series. And now I've seen
like
it.
Like, people will be like, I can't believe you haven't watched Mad Men. Like, I can't believe you haven't watched Babylon 5. Like, whatever. I don't care.
Come on, Peter. Have you not watched Breaking Bad and The Wire? Why have you not?
I have watched both of those things, although I haven't actually watched the end of Breaking Bad, but they took too long to bring it out, and I can't be bothered to rewatch all of it to understand it. So, look, haven't even got to my entirely pace phase of the lockdown yet.
Ooh, love some Lee Pace face.
Yeah, I watched Halt and Catch Fire on SBS online. Early lockdown, and that was a great binge.
Where did you start with Lee Pace, though, Peter?
I started at Halt and Catch Fire, and I followed up with Pushing Daisies because I needed more Lee after I'd finished.
Pushing Daisies. That is a show I love rewatching.
Isn't it a lovely show? Oh, it's just so everything sweet about it.
There's that bit where they kiss through the glad wrap, and I was like, oh, this is so cute. Stop it.
It's adorable. It's adorable. It's such a beautiful little piece of fantasy romance storytelling. But Halt and Catch Fire is also really, really cool. I'd only ever seen the first season previously. Okay. And, you know, because it was lockdown, I pushed through all four. but I would recommend, if you haven't seen it and you feel like a little bit of a binge, it's like a solid show, not just because Lee Pace is adorable.
Little bit of premise, what's it about?
It is about a team of programmers and engineers trying to get ahead of the pack in developing computer technology in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
The cutthroat world of...
I loved it too. I think I watched the first season. I never went back after the second. I think I started watching the second season and never finished watching it. But I want to go back and finish it off because it's a good show. Like, it's so interesting and it's got a lot of great acting in it. And like, I was just like, oh, I'm hooked by this thing. It's great. Yeah, it's kind of like a fictional history of the IBM, Microsoft, Apple race to create personal computers.
And it's imagining that there are like other players in that race that are just on the edge of pipping them. Yeah. But it's interesting. It's interesting if you're kind of, you know, interested in that era of programming and the advances that were being made. And I guess imagining how some of those advances might have been made. But it's also a solid drama. There's a lot going on between the characters, and Lee Pace is adorable. What can I say?
Well, I'll give it a go.
And it's got Mackenzie Davis as well. Yeah. I think I have to make a confession because everyone in the chat is talking about how they've been binging the new Doctor Who episodes. And my awful confession is that I think I might be a season behind on Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely am. I have not seen the last season.
It just hasn't hit the top of my list.
I saw the Eccleston season, and then I sort of gave up.
Oh wow!
So
no. I was kind of literally forced to watch it years ago when we were doing Cool Shade, and there was a bunch of stuff, and there was some of the other people that I was podcasting with were very rabid about how great Doctor Who was. And through the David Tennant years, it was kind of like, oh, that's fun. And then it just kind of dropped off for me after that. Ever since then, I've just kind of like, do I want to go watch it? Nah.
Yeah. I love the David Tennant and Matt Smith eras, but I've dropped off a little bit.
I couldn't get into the Capaldi ones, and I'm sorry if that offends anybody, but he just wasn't doing it for me.
No, it's always that word.
And I think Capaldi is great. Like, I think Peter Capaldi is amazing, but there was just something that didn't grab me. And it's been the same with Jodie Whittaker. Like, I think she's fantastic, but I'm just less drawn to.
I really enjoyed her mini series of like when it first started, you know, because it felt like it was just a half season or something. But yeah, I've got to get back into it.
It's just, the binge that awaits.
Yes, the binge that awaits.
The best binge is the one you haven't done yet.
True.
Are there any other binge things that you guys have seen? Because I've seen a couple of movies that I do want to talk about.
Shoot.
Binge movies? What sort of binge movies are you talking about there, Jill?
Well, just more fun things that we haven't told people about.
Yeah, it's like stuff that we're not going to review, but stuff that has just come out at the movies, and maybe some people here might like to know if they're good or not, so whether they can go and watch it.
I'd like to know, Jill.
You would like to know? Okay, so one movie that, Pete, you would be interested in, I know you would be interested in, that I watched over Christmas was Dear Evan Hansen. Now, it's theatrical version of the Broadway musical that was, like, hella popular. It's about a guy that has an assignment given to him by his therapist of writing letters to himself to kind of build up his self-esteem. But a guy at school finds one of the letters and steals it. But then he's a very problematic kid and has committed suicide and has this letter. And so now everybody thinks that him and Evan, that was writing the letters to himself, were best friends. So he goes into this horrible tangent of like, oh no, now everybody's assumed this thing and it's too late. I can't correct them now. I just have to go along with it, and pretends throughout most of this movie that he and this guy were best friends. And it starts getting very awkward very quickly. And then he has to confess. And I got to say, the recording, the soundtrack is great. I love the music, really great songs. Unfortunately, doesn't really translate into the theatrical very well. Now, Ben Platt, that played Evan Hansen in the musical on Broadway, is brilliant. And he's not that old. I know a lot of people poo-pooed his look in the movie because he looks like a 30-year-old playing a 16-year-old, but he's actually not in his 30s. But it kind of just felt like he was the only one that was singing in the movie and everybody was just like, what's this guy doing? It was so weird. It was really weird to watch.
Oh, no. I was looking forward to that one.
Didn't really translate well, but I mean, yeah, give it a go. Did you
see any of the other musicals that came out recently? Did you see Come From Away or any of those ones?
No, not yet.
I saw, speaking of musicals, I did watch Encanto recently.
I think we should actually talk about Encanto. I think we should do a full talk about Encanto, and I haven't raised that with you guys yet. I'm raising it now. I think we should do a talk about Encanto.
I would love to do a talk about it.
It's going to be before or after Universal Soldier.
Before, if I have anything to do with it.
Sure. Okay, I'm happy to.
Because Encanto is delightful. And look, if you're in the mood for musicals, Cinderella on Amazon Prime, the recently released one, is such a fun watch. Highly recommend. And we are going to be doing at some point when we feel like it, a chat about musicals, a few chats probably about musicals in general, because we are all deep musical nerds on top of our other deep nerdness. But I just wanted to get in with that one because if you're feeling a bit sad, Cinderella on Amazon Prime Video is a very cheerful watch.
Yes, I loved that movie.
Speaking of just stuff you watched over Christmas, I'm really curious, did anyone watch any of those Christmas movies that come out over Christmas? Did anyone go full?
Oh, my God.
My sister and I went full bad Christmas, Hallmark Christmas movie over Christmas.
I watched the gay one on Netflix,
Single All the Way, yeah.
Oh, my God. So trashy, but it was great.
It was great. I really liked it. I liked it a lot better than Happiest Season. which I found to be actually a really hard watch because it was just portraying a fairly abusive relationship. Single All the Way was much nicer.
It was fun.
Good. No.
I watched The Christmas Prince. I watched my sister and I, we decided we were just going to watch like the terrible Christmas movies. We chose the worst ones we possibly could. There are some really bad ones out there. The Christmas Prince isn't great and it has two sequels.
Oh, okay.
Christmas Wedding and Christmas Royal Baby or something.
Jeez. What are those?
Oh, Dion, stop it. James Corden is not a stop. Teaming up with Casper in the chat about how you don't want to watch Cinderella because it's got James Corden in it. Like,
James Corden is a horrible human.
I don't care. He's in a tiny bit of the movie and it's a very sweet
so
and fun
insignificant.
Movie to watch.
He's so
not
insignificant.
Even like, I mean, I felt terrible because, you know, look, you know, Meatloaf died this week and, you know, look, balance whatever you want to say about his horrible anti-vaxxing, but his classic rock music and ability to appear as a, you know, a singer in Rocky Horror Picture Show. Great, whatever. But because of that, it actually came out with an interview with him by James Corden, when he was like 18 or 19, and he's just been shit since then. Like, there's no difference between him then and him now, and he's been terrible the entire time. He's just managed to get a job in television and stuck with it, and I hate it. Anyway.
Okay. I'm just going to pivot back to movies for a sec and then we'll probably wrap this up. Okay, so new stuff that has come out that I have seen. I watched the new Scream. Let me tell you, it's exactly the same as the first Scream. It's just 25 years in the future with Gen Zers doing the exact same thing. And like Snake eating its tail itself, just saying, oh my God, if we're in a horror movie right now, then that means that you're probably the killer or you're a suspect or this is going to happen next. And it is so dumb.
Rebooting and trying to erase 90s millennial history. I'm not for it.
It's someone not even doing that. It's just self-referencing itself.
It was a better meta movie than The Matrix 4. It achieved it better. And I was like, that's interesting, because I thought, you know, for Matrix 4, for all its fucking faults that was there, it had a pretty interesting metatextual narrative. But if Scream is kind of like literally...
Yeah, Scream knew that it was doing it and it was doing it on purpose. But yeah, I mean, if you want to watch Scream but a new one, then watch Scream. They haven't even called it 5 or whatever number this one is now.
It's should have just fucking Scream again. Honestly, they should have just come out with the movie Stab. You know, and I know that they've made the movie about, like, they made the movie Stab.
Oh, you know that's in the movie. Yeah. Okay.
I feel like they could have come out with it and just called it Stab.
Yeah.
And then even done, like, about the production of the movie about that's based on the movie.
Yeah.
You know, they could have done it anyway.
I watched The 355. Chastangela, where are you? Because it was amazing. Sebastian Stan, our boyfriend, in that movie was great. But let me tell you, I have a new woman crush, and it's Jessica Chastain. She is just phenomenal, and I am dying to see The Eyes of Tammy Faye because, like, she's doing some makeup work to, like, look different. But that movie was so cool. So it's about a bunch of women from all different spy agencies around the world teaming up together to stop this huge terrorist threat and just kicking ass. It was
Is the
so
terrorist
cool.
Sebastian Stan?
That's a spoiler, and I will not confirm nor deny that. But yeah, if you get a chance, go and watch The 355. It was so cool. There are a few cliche spy action movie moments, but it is all forgiven for the last huge fight scene because it was the most kick-ass thing.
Do you guys remember the Charlie's Angels reboot one?
Yes.
Yeah. When you're like, oh, there's a few cliche things. I'm like, come on, like that I actually
This is the cool. like disappearing behind a bus and the eating Chinese takeout on a stakeout, and you know, like dumb stuff. But you know, I'll forgive it.
That's fine. Didn't Rob was asking in the chat, did you see Red Notice? Did we do a show in Red Notice?
I just watched
Red Notice.
I watched it.
We didn't. No, we were going to, but we didn't.
I think we were going to, and then we watched it. Then we were like,
maybe not.
Red Notice actually, like, I liked the interplay between the characters and what they were doing, but I just hated that it had every single product placement under the sun, and it was very much like, oh, you're all doing this because you have something else you're selling. You're not doing any. You want to be in this movie. You know that if you all come together, you can sell your own products. Like it felt very much
like dumb, but like Just Angel says, it was silly and fun.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, I'm kind of more interested to see
the highbrow. Oh, yeah, definitely go and watch that. And it wrapped up nicely, but it was also like, you know what? All these girls survived and they went back to their own thing, but maybe they'll get back together again. Who knows? Sure. I mean, watch it if it was a series. So good.
Jason Bourne can keep coming back.
Yes.
That sort of thing. You know, if you're going to have Ocean's 11 or Ocean's
6. Yeah. Well, Ocean's 8, the all-woman one. That was great.
Yeah, like it's all right. And I also love that they fridged fucking George Clooney's character. I like that one. I was just like, oh, he's dead now. I'm like, yay! Where's your own back there, guys? It's like, oh, this guy that was in this show, he's dead now. Anyway, moving on.
I also watched House of Gucci, and I loved it. I thought it was very good. It's not something that we'd ever review here, but if anybody was thinking of watching it, Lady Gaga is a brilliant actress. And
yes. Ben Swallow, how was he?
He was good. Yes. I liked him in this. He was very good.
A lot of hate, though.
I will tell you who was brilliant. Jared Leto. Jared Leto was so good in this movie. Like, he's playing Italian caricature to a T, but like, just embracing it so hard, and like, it wasn't poor taste, but it was funny. It was good. I liked it. And it's a dramatized biopic. Like, you can't say it's bad, can you?
I feel like if I'm hungover one day, I might be like, yeah, I'll just watch House of Gucci, see what's going on.
Yeah, I liked it. And one last one that I saw, Nightmare Alley. So this is the Guillermo del Toro movie with Bradley Cooper.
And, I know. Okay, you can tell me right now. You can tell me right now, Jill.
I'm not going to give you spoilers.
I know, no, but I had this on the list for reviewing next month in February. So tell me right now,
is it
be putting it on the list, or should we just not talk about it? And
don't
we'll do
put
something?
It on the list.
I'm down with that kind of stuff, but like, I was, because I heard some bad shit come out about it.
I'm actually pretty disappointed, to be honest. I mean, when you say Guillermo del Toro, you think, oh, cool, there's going to be amazing monsters, there'll be character suits, there'll be like some sort of special effects or puppetry or whatever. Nope.
Especially with Guillermo del Toro, Bradley Cooper, Cate Blanchett, I was like, yes.
I know, it had all of the things on the list to say this is going to be a great movie. It was very slow to start. When it did get going, I was like, oh, this is going to happen at the end. Like, XYZ is going to happen at the end. And then this whole thing just keeps going. And then I'm watching and I'm like, yeah, I bet you 100% XYZ is going to happen at the end. And what do you know? It happened at the end. And I'm like, oh, God, I saw that coming a mile away.
So which one did you say, House of Gucci or Nightmare Alley?
House of Gucci.
And that one got, like, damn.
I don't know why people disliked it. I thought it was great. It was cromulent. But Nightmare Alley, I was just disappointed. I was like, not what I was expecting from Del Toro. It's based off a book. It's very... I guess you'd call it like a thriller-ish, but more along like the kind of, what do you call those things?
Film noir?
like a folklore myth thing. What are those things called?
Folklore?
No, yeah. You know the, oh, it was the boyfriend's head on the top of the car. Like, what did
this?
Like a horror story, like a...
Oh, an entire movie.
Yeah, it's a horror story, like a...
Urban legend.
Urban legend!
Yes. We got there. We're fine.
Got there in the end.
Yes. It's urban legend. Urban legend. It's an urban legend.
Very urban legend-y style story. Yes. So yes. I think that's maybe why the ending was very predictable for me. But
it's
dark and moody, and the sets were beautiful, and the costumes were nice. But as for the story, it's just not up to snuff.
Because we've got the shows that we've got announced coming up, but there's also Uncharted releasing next month, and The Batman. Three hours of The Batman. Which I really don't know, but we'll see what sort of shakes out based on some of these Christmas releases were very weird for movies, because it was a whole bunch of like, do you want to go back to cinemas yet? And everyone's like, maybe, kind of, don't know, sure.
Yeah, there's part of me that still wants to go and see Knightsman. I kind of want to see Spencer as well.
Sure, I'm just like, after our premiere announced today that they're not actively tracking anything to do with the check-in code. It was just a I was like, well, why would I fucking bother?
Yes, well. Anyway. I'm lucky that I live a block away from the cinema, and so I get online and I check if the session that's coming up in the next half hour is relatively empty, and if it is, I dash up and I go and watch it.
Yeah.
So that's how I've been seeing all of these movies.
I haven't even seen Spider-Man yet, and I have become master of spoiler avoidance. So, I'm devastated, but I just can't bring myself to go to a theater at the moment. So,
I mean, you're going to freak out when Spider-Man comes in.
Also, thank you, Casper, who is once again handing out the gift subs in the chat there.
Oh, yes.
I just saw that pass by a while ago in the chat.
I was speaking of Spider-Man, while we were doing that, I just got the Sony releases today, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 1 is coming out in September. Which should be very interesting. I hope everyone... Peter, did you ever see the Spider-Man Enter the Spider-Verse?
Absolutely. I love it. It's one of my favorite films of the past 5 years or whenever it was released.
And they're making another one.
Yes, and I do hope that I manage to see Spider-Man No Way Home before I see Enter the Spider-Verse.
Well, look, it'll be on DVD before then, I'm sure.
Yeah, fingers crossed I will eventually get to see it, because I was so psyched for that movie, guys. Like, I was really looking forward to it. So
you can still go.
I'm just going to keep, binging both trashy and half-decent television on Netflix and waiting till I feel like it's safe to go outside again, and it'll be fine.
Rob just said in there he watched Puff over the holidays.
Oh, thanks, Rob.
Yay.
Thank you. There's been some interesting feedback on Puff.
Was there some old person going, why is there no magic dragon? I came from magic.
Well, there's a lot of very cranky people that are very annoyed that climate change was mentioned for about 5 seconds.
How dare you?
They are outraged, I tell you. I just want to watch Netflix in peace.
Were they also the sort of people who were grumpy that Grace Tame wasn't smiling today when she had to shake the hand?
Topical.
Possibly the same category of people. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Possibly the same category of people. That's all right. They can have those opinions and they can wrap them up in a tiny little thing and shove them up there. Anyway.
So what am I going to go and binge now after we talk?
I recommend watching Archive 81 on Netflix, because I would like to talk about it in February, please.
Okay. Sure. Well,
it's a new little spoopy little TV show about cursed videotapes and weird cults.
Oh, okay, interesting. I will look into that. Like, I mean, if we're going to go onto some weird shit, can I like admit a stupid sort of binge thing that I have watched recently that has nothing to do with any of this, which is Escape to the Chateau.
Oh, I love that show.
But not just that. Like, was I not content with watching Escape to the Chateau, which for whatever reason, it's actually quite great and wholesome. Yes. I even not even binged that. I binged Escape to the Chateau DIY. And it's
one of the
that's like a reality TV show. Why am I watching a reality TV show? And it's always going to see me going, I'm quite enjoying this. No.
Oh. Happens to the best of us. It's like, I get in those loops sometimes, particularly when there's some kind of reveal, you know, when there's like a reveal at the end, like it's a makeover show or like a home renovation show or a tiny house show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is sort of tiny house, but it's like a tiny castle in France. And these people are very creative at like renoing it themselves. And so now their craft show is about, here's how I DIY all of my stuff and now you can do it too.
Kind of, yeah. Like, I highly recommend it, Pete. Get into it. You'll be just be like, oh, okay. Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to go and watch Archive 81 now.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, I've got the trailer. I'll watch it straight after, but let's get into it. And send us through stuff. Like, what has everyone out there been watching? What have you guys been watching? Anything that we've missed here? There's a few that I was like, oh, yeah. There's that one show from earlier, which was the, was it Before? Wait, Before Landers? No. I had it up earlier. I forgot the thing. It came up. It was the one about the Vikings who appear in modern day and they have to reintegrate into society.
Oh, yeah.
The Danish show or something. It came up in the chat earlier and I saw it and was like, what's that? Oh, why don't you look into it? Ooh, that looks interesting. Yes, and Cobra Kai. Beforeigners, that's the one. Thank you.
Yes, we'll be doing Cobra Kai next month.
Yes, Cobra Kai's on the list. Everything's on the list.
And I think we probably need to give a little bit of credit to Elsker Norg for telling us multiple times over multiple shows to watch Beforeigners, and now we're like, oh, I just heard of this new show.
Yes.
What's it called? Is it Beforeigners? Oh,
dear.
Yeah, like, oh goodness. Yep. Random YouTube influencers? Oh no. No. I don't know. It just depends on what the algorithm serves.
A new thing to binge. Anyway, next Tuesday we will see you back here for Arcane.
Ah, yes.
Everybody is dying
but
for
you won't see me. I'm not coming back next Tuesday. Sorry.
No, but that's okay. Quiddy will be here next week and he is dying to talk about Arcane.
And immediately the viewership increases 12%. Excellent.
Oh. No one, hey, no one in the chat said, where's Quiddy? Which is like the one saying that Dion loves you guys.
They all know. It's just a running gag. Because we all know this. Where's the other one? Oh, fuck's sake. Oh, dear. Look, yes, yes, I know. Book of Boba Fett is coming. It'd be fine. I'm holding off a Book of Boba Fett till they finish the season because I want to see if they manage to do something, and then I can do a whole thing. But yes, I've been wanting to do that for a long time. Anyway,
tomorrow's episode will be the Underground Fight Club.
They've already kind of done it, for fuck's sake.
No, that was Underground Body Modifications. Now we're gonna have the Fight Club.
They all did the fucking jeez. Like
everybody,
yeah,
enjoy Underground Fight Club. Everybody enjoy your government issued public holiday tomorrow.
Yes.
And we will see you next week.
Thank you, everybody.
Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table Podcast. If you have comments, feedback, questions, or suggestions, email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. From our website, you can find our Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook links, as well as ways to donate to the show if you're feeling generous. And of course, you can join in the show live on Tuesday and Friday nights on our Twitch channel. Until next time, stay awesome!